May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever not wanted to be seen? I can tell you of a time when I had this experience of when I wanted to just vanish. I'm at a pool with my kids, then 6 and 3, and they are splashing and swimming, and the pleasure they take in this is innocent and pure. Then, out of nowhere, come 4 older boys, maybe ages 10 and 11, and they are trouble. They set upon proving this point. They grab pool noodles and wield them as weapons. They whack the water on either side of my 3-year-old. And I'm hovering nearby, wondering if I need to intervene. My 3-year-old beats me to it, yelling, "Stop it!" loudly enough for all of the grown-ups around the pool to glance over. And even the boys are taken aback. Now she has an audience. And she yells, "Stop it, you bullies!" Behind me, a lady shouts, "Kevin! Kevin! Get over here!" Kevin appears to be one of the noodle-wielding boys. "But Mom," he says, "Kevin, now!" And he skulks over to his mother's side. I don't know if he really skulked, but I'd like to feel like he was a skulker. I look at my daughter, and I'm impressed, more than impressed. It's incredibly heroic for this little 3-year-old to take on these boys. I don't want to get in her way. Kevin reappears in the pool. He's indignant, and now he plans on getting even. He and his fellow orcs again threaten my fearless 3-year-old. And she again leaps into the fray. "You watch out," she shouts. Dramatic pause. She once again has the audience of the entire pool. "I peed in this pool and I peed in the hot pool too." The teasing boys flee, grossed out and disgusted. There is murmuring among the adults. My first thought, no one knows I am her mother. And I slowly sink lower into the pool, like a crocodile, so that just half of my face is showing above the water. I want no one to see me. But my second thought, I'm proud of this girl. She is bold and courageous. And I swim to her and we continue to play orc free. The Samaritan woman also did not want to be seen. She has come to the well at noon and it's the hottest part of the day. Not the time when the other women would have come to the well to draw water. Yet her whole plan of not being seen this day doesn't work out for her. I imagine her kind of lost in her thoughts, the heat of the noon sun pressing down upon her, sweat stinging her eyes as she makes out a figure sitting at the well. And she takes a deep breath, braces herself, and makes sure to not make eye contact. But this doesn't matter, because for some reason, this man who's at the well starts talking to her. Not only is he chatting with a woman, a big no-no, not only does he chat with a woman who is an ethnic outsider, a Samaritan, a really bigger no-no, not only does he chat with a woman who is an ethnic outsider who has had 5 husbands. There's not enough no-nos for that one. But this is by far the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone in all of the Gospels. This man says to her that he offers her living water that gushes up to eternal life. And when she says, "Give me this water so that I may not thirst," he goes straight for her deepest wound. She says, "Give me this living water," and he asks about her husband. He's not avoiding the subject. He's cutting straight to the heart of it, to her heart. "I have no husband," she says. And with that shred of truth from her, he tells her the rest of the truth about herself, that she has had 5 husbands, and the man with whom she is currently residing is not her husband. Now, a reference point. We cannot presume this woman is promiscuous. It's also possible within the confines of this culture that she was infertile and thus divorced 5 times. And it's also possible that this woman's original husband died and she was then married off to other male relatives. We can't know for sure why she's had 5 husbands. Though we can know for sure that this has caused her to feel like she's not welcome to come to the well at the same time as the other women, and that's why she's there at noon. She's an outcast. She's been wounded. And Jesus has gone directly for her wound. Now, you have heard it said that water finds the lowest point. Well, living water finds your lowest point. The living water offered by Jesus Christ finds our lowest point. It flows to our original wound. The thing that we spend so much time trying to heal through all sorts of insufficient ways, through work, pursuing success or achievement, or a fat bank account, getting more degrees, more therapy, perfecting our image, impressing our friends, trying to get our parents to love us more. There are a million ways we try to substitute things for God and to make sure that God doesn't see and others don't see our damage, our wounds. You want to stop trying to quench your thirst with things that will never satisfy? You want this eternal life? And it starts with being seen. It starts with the truth, the naked truth about your original wound and your original beauty and every good and bad thing about you. This all seems a bit too much for the Samaritan woman. So she changes the subject back to religion again, trying to draw Jesus into this argument about Jews versus Samaritans and where they worship. And you can hardly blame her. If he knows all about her husbands, there is no telling what else he knows about her. And she decides she would rather not find out. So she thinks it's time to introduce some static so that this man with the X-ray eyes cannot read her so well. It's time to step back from him and cover herself up. But it doesn't work. When she steps back, he steps forward. When she steps out of the light, he steps into it. He will not let her retreat. If she is determined to show him less of herself, he is determined to show her more of himself. "I know that the Messiah is coming," she says, and he says, "I am he." It's the first time he's ever said this to another living soul. It's a moment of full disclosure in which the outsider and the Messiah of God stand face to face. with no pretense about who they are. Both are standing in the full light of day, and all of the rules, the taboos, and the history that separate them fall to the ground. By telling the woman who she is, Jesus shows her who he is. By confronting her true identity, he reveals his own, and this is how it happens. The Messiah is the one in whose presence you know who you really are, the good and the bad of it, all of it, and the hope in it. The Messiah is the one who shows us who we are by showing us who he is, the one who crosses all boundaries, breaks down all rules, drops all disguises, speaking to us like someone we have known our whole life, bubbling up in our life like a well that needs no dipper in order that we can go back to face the people we thought we'd never be able to face again, speaking to them boldly as he spoke to us, saying, "Come and see. This is a man who can tell us everything about what we've ever done. This is how you are seen by God. Good people, whatever our lowest point is, whatever our deepest wound, our vilest sin, the most damaged thing in us is, the living water of Christ's compassion will find it, has found it, and has filled it to overflowing with grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.